I came across this post recently while I was online. You may have heard it. It's called God's Diet Plan. And God populated the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach and green and yellow vegetables of all kinds, so man and woman would live long and healthy lives. And Satan created hamburger restaurants. And hamburger restaurants brought forth the 99-cent double cheeseburger. And Satan said to man, "You want fries with that?" And man said, "Supersize them, please." And man gained pounds. And God created the healthful yogurt that women might keep her figure that men found so fair. And Satan froze the yogurt, and he brought forth chocolate, nuts, and brightly colored sprinkled candy to put on the yogurt, and the woman gained pounds. And God said, "Try my crispy fresh salad." Satan brought forth creamy dressing, bacon bits, and shredded cheese. And there was ice cream for dessert, and the man and the woman both gained pounds. And God said, "I have sent you healthy, heart-healthy vegetables and olive oil with which to cook them." And Satan brought forth chicken fried steak so thick it needed its own platter. And man gained pounds, and his bad cholesterol went through the roof. And God brought forth running shoes, and man resolved to lose those extra pounds. And Satan brought forth cable television with a remote control, so man would not have to toil to change the channels. And God brought forth the potato, and naturally, a vegetable naturally low in fat and brimming with nutrition. And Satan peeled off that healthful skin and sliced the starchy center into chips and deep fried it. And he created sour cream dip also. And man clutched his remote control and ate his potato chips swaddled in cholesterol. And Satan saw and said, "It is good." And man went into cardiac arrest. And God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. Wow, quadruple bypass surgery does not sound very appealing. This morning I want to speak about something that I honestly don't think I've spoke about in 25 years of ministry here, and that is about the body. And I'm not talking about the church body, you know, the body of Christ. I'm talking about our physical, actual flesh and blood body. There's a tendency in the church to ignore talk about the physical body. We have an unspoken expectation almost that the body has little to do with our spiritual health. And so we separate our physical and our spiritual, and we see them as divided, and what I do here doesn't really have a bearing there, and what I do there doesn't have a bearing here. And in fact, there was a time when well-meaning people believed and considered that the body was actually evil, and that the more they inflicted abuse, self-abuse on their body, the more spiritual they would be, because they were beating down that evil body. That's the kind of mindset that had been promoted at one time. The body needed to be suppressed so that the spirit grew, and it was abused intentionally by oneself. On the other hand, there are too many people today who go the other extreme and virtually worship the body. Everything has to do with how the body looks. This morning, I want us to consider a biblical understanding of our physical body and the care that we are called to give it. Now, I realize that not everything about our physical body is in our control, but I think the same principle we find in Romans chapter 12, 18 applies in this case. Talking about something completely different, Paul writes, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you," he says, "live at peace with everyone." And we know that it's not always possible to live at peace with everyone, but Paul says, if it is possible, as much as you can help it, do your part to live at peace with everyone. And I think we can say the same sort of idea with our body. Not everything about our body is in our control, but I think that we could say that as much as it is in our control, in our hands, that we should do everything we can to take care of our body. And the reason why is quite clear when we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If you have your Bible, you might want to take a look at that with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just two verses, verses 19 and 20. The context here is about sexual immorality, but there's a truth in here that I think transcends to many areas of the care of our body. And this is what Paul says. He says, Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. A common theme in so much thinking today is that I can do whatever I want with my body. It's mine, and I can do whatever I want. Don't anyone tell me what to do. Some people use that as an excuse to do whatever they want. The only problem is, according to God's word, that's not a valid excuse. God's word tells us our body is not our own. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, God has bought you. He has paid for you. If you belong to God, and that's the thing, if you belong to God, your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. Previously you were, but when you came to Christ, you belong to Him. You've given yourself to Him. And that includes your physical body. And what you do with your body and how you treat your body very much becomes God's concern. It's a little bit like everything else, really, that God has given us. God has given us this body. We have a responsibility to use the gifts that God has given us. We understand that. We understand that we have a responsibility to use the talents that God has given us. We understand that we have a responsibility to use the resources that God has given us in a wise manner. If we have been blessed with much, we need to use those resources wisely. We have that responsibility. And the same thing applies with our body, with our physical body. God has given us our body, and we have a responsibility to use it in a way that is honoring and pleasing to God. The good news is that I'm not about to tell you what you need to do with your body. One of the best ways that we can control our body is by controlling what we put into our bodies. And there are many people who would want to tell you what you should and shouldn't do, and I'm not about to do that. The Bible already gives us some good information about what is good to eat and what is harmful to eat. You may be surprised, really, at how generous God is. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit and with seed in it. They will be yours for food." In Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything." And so God is being rather generous when He says what we can eat, what is good for us, what is okay. We have our meat, we have our potatoes, we have everything. It's all covered in there. Every seed-bearing plant, every tree that has fruit, all the green plants, everything that lives and moves will be food for you. There are other scriptures that focus on specific foods and some to eat and others to avoid. There are all kinds of dietary laws in the Old Testament for God's people. There was Daniel also in the Old Testament and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to eat the rich diet of the king and preferred their vegetables and water. There was John the Baptist in the New Testament who ate locusts and wild honey. Does that sound yummy? Anybody up for a potluck of locusts after church someday? Then there's Peter, also in the New Testament, you know, who had a vision, and he was told that he could eat all kinds of the animals that were provided. And so really, there's a broad spectrum of, as far as God is concerned, what we can consume that is good for our bodies. Sometimes we focus on specific foods. And I have to say that the problem isn't food. Or I should say, the problem isn't real food. Just like so many things that God has created, and this is what it boils down to, just like so many things that God has created good, man has found a way to mess it up. Hence the little story at the beginning of the message. God has created the potato good for us, right? Healthy, nutritious. And man has created the potato chip, you know. And you can go on and on about all kinds of similar examples like that. The problem isn't real food. The problem is the highly processed, modified, saturated, salted, nutrition-deprived edible products, quote-unquote, that we often consume. And it's killing us. But remember, what God created was good. And if we want to have healthy bodies, if we want to honor God with our body, we ought to look for eating things the way God created it. The more closer we are to that, I believe the better off we will be. When God created, He created things good. What God created was balanced. It was nutritious. It was good for us. The problem is that much of what we consume today is nothing at all like what God created. So again, just about any kind of food prepared, eaten in a way that it was intended in moderation is almost always a good thing. Some people respond by starving themselves. They figure if I just do without, that'll be the answer to all my problems. And that's not the answer at all. Those who hardly ever eat are not honoring God with their bodies. We need food. We need real food. A healthy appetite is good. Starving ourselves isn't the answer. On the other hand, there's the other extreme of overindulgence. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19. Paul is describing those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Wow, that's a strong term. Those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Think about that for a second. And what does Paul say about them? Philippians 3:19. He says their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Now, there's a lot of things in there, and not just one, but you could see here among them, there's the emphasis or the statement, a pretty strong statement, that their God is their stomach. We don't like to talk about overindulgence in eating. We talk about drugs and how harmful they are, and we talk about how alcohol can be harmful. We talk about how smoking is detrimental to our health, and we speak against all sorts of things and practices, but we don't talk too much about overindulgence in eating. When Heather and I were on our cruise last January, by the way, now that we hiked the Chilkoot again, we're due for another one. when we were on our cruise last January, we were confronted with food. 24 hours a day. You could get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have pizza. You could get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and have a corned beef sandwich if you want, you know. There was buffets that went like all over the place, all over the ship. There was food wherever you turned. And one time they had a midnight Mexican feast at midnight. You know, this is after we filled ourselves silly through the day. And I did. I went to the midnight Mexican feast and had a plate of Mexican food at 12:30 at night or something like that, and even took a picture of it, and I indulged. And oftentimes we do when it's not necessary, and that's the problem. It's not necessary. Gary Thomas, who some of us have been reading, and we've done a study of his once already, he once said, "A subtle and dangerous spiritual mechanism arises when we always obey our hunger." It's an interesting thought. Let me repeat that. A subtle and dangerous spiritual mechanism arises when we always obey our hunger. And then he adds, it becomes a steering wheel in Satan's hands. Wise words, something to think about. When food is used for comfort or indulgence, when it's eaten in an unnatural state, when it's used to cover up pain or problems, we will pay the price. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, speaking about spiritual things, but again, it applies to our physical body. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." And this is so true when it comes time to the when it comes to the health of our physical bodies. We reap what we sow. How we take care of our body will result in how our body responds. I don't want to go on with this too much, but I wanted to just add a couple of other things. Something I learned a few years ago that kind of stuck with me. And maybe it's not always true, but we're often quick to say, and I've heard it, you've probably heard it too, that whatever physical ailment we have, we often chalk it up to hereditary reasons. It's in the genes. After all, my mother had it, and her mother had it, my father had it, and his father had it, and that's why I have this problem. And we chalk it up to genes. And I'm sure there's some truth in there somewhere, but I'm also aware that many times the same illnesses that we have that our ancestors have are simply because we eat the way our ancestors ate. If you eat the way your parents and grandparents ate, then you'll probably have the same issues that they had. If your parents had high blood pressure and coronary heart disease and all sorts of things, you might have them too, not because of genes, but because of similar habits. The good news is that it's rarely too late to change, to make a change. One of the things we learned in the 7 areas of life training that we covered a while back is that if we make hard choices now, if we make sacrifices now that are difficult, it won't be easy, but as life goes on, it will get easier, and it leads to life. And on the other hand, we learned that if we take the easy way now and indulge in whatever we want, things start off good, but it gets harder and harder and harder. Jesus said a very similar thing, again, about spiritual issues, but you can see the principle apply when it comes to the health of our bodies. He said in Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And the truth there is that Jesus is talking about our spiritual lives. If we take this, if we take the easy road today, spiritually, the road that many people are on, and it's broad and many people are there, Jesus says that it's going to lead to destruction. If you go the hard way, the way that looks rough and most people don't take it and there's just a few there and it's narrow and it's difficult, Jesus says it leads to life. And that same principle applies in many aspects of our lives. If we take the easy way, it looks good and comfortable and easy now, but it leads to a problem. If we make the hard choices now, it leads to life. And the whole reason, again, why this is important is because God has given us a body that belongs to Him. That's the bottom line. We need to understand that this body belongs to Him. Just like my talents belong to Him, my time belongs to Him, my resources belong to Him. Everything I have comes from God and belongs to God. I believe that. We believe that as followers of Christ. So also our body. This physical body, even though it is temporary, even though it is prone to breakdown, even though, you know, one day it will disintegrate, in the meantime, it still belongs to Him. And it is the temple of the Holy Spirit, where God resides within us. And He calls us and wants us to take care of this body in a way that is honoring to Him. I want to close with a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, that might serve as an overall guiding principle for us when it comes to our body, and particularly what we consume. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, 31, "So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And that's an interesting concept. So the next time, you know, you're faced with a temptation of some sort that you might, you know isn't good for you, remember, do whatever you do, can you do it for the glory of God? I'm not saying you should never have this or never have that. I'm not even interested in what this or that are. I'm just talking about the principles that we can accept and adopt as part of our lives in moderation to bring glory and honor to God. Let's pray. Father God, we just come to You this morning, and Lord, I recognize in my life how many times I have failed in this respect, and even now, Lord, I just see how easy it is in our day and age of instant gratification and satisfaction and everything else to indulge the appetite and in ways that are not helpful but harmful. And Lord, I just pray for Your forgiveness in that, Lord. And I pray for each one of us here this morning, Lord. It's a hard thing to talk about. It's a hard thing to honestly consider. We all think we do it right, and maybe we are. I don't know. But I just pray, Father, that as we spend this time here this morning, I pray that Your Spirit would just speak to us. And if there is any habit or any issue, Lord, that doesn't bring honor to the body, whether it's things we consume or whether it's things we do with our body, Lord, I just pray that You'd help us just to bring that to You, to confess that to You, and allow Your Spirit to bring peace to our hearts and minds, that our bodies may bring glory to You, Father God, that they do belong to You. And Father, I just pray that You would bless and work in each one of us for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.